hello everyone and welcome back to Blog Talk Radio here live with Coaching with Carrie. I'm super excited to have you join me again today. As I'd mentioned the last couple weeks, you know, we're really getting back on track now that the summer's over to have a live session every Friday for you. Of course, these are all recorded, so if you can't listen into the live session, that's okay. You can go ahead and listen to any of these. By the way, there are literally close to 100 of sessions now that are still recorded and saved in my Coaching with Carrie Blog Talk Radio website. So go ahead and just go to coachingwithcarrie.com and you can listen into any of these recorded sessions. And I've talked about a lot of different topics, many of which people have come to me and said they've listened to the whole series and it's really helped them. Many of them are based on books, by the way. So if you haven't had a chance to read the book, if you don't really like to read and you prefer to listen to books on CD, etc., or Audible, well, this is a great way for you to listen to these books with just some added coaching into them, and it's free. So we did many of those types of books. We've done different training sessions I have, such as the six personal perspectives, etc. And right now I'm talking about leading and motivating your team to success, and that's the series we're on right now. This is session three, or part three. Last week, we talked about really understanding your goals. And I think it's such a great time of year to talk about this, because we're obviously at the end of the year, coming into a new year, and you guys need to understand, okay, number one, where is your organization at? And as a leader, what do you need to do to respond to that? And then number two, what is our organization going to do in 2017? So putting together the goals, the priorities, the strategies. We talked about the identifying your GPS, or your 1-3-5, which is your one big goal or outcome objective, your three major priorities for that goal or objective, and then your five strategies to achieve each priority. And so we talked about, you know, determining that big goal, working on it as a team, and determining everybody's role in those priorities and those strategies as well, and really getting the buy-in of your team, and then them being able to track what they need to do. They can do that on an action plan worksheet, which is also called a 411 action goal worksheet, which is basically identifying, you know, their big rocks for the year, then their monthly goals that lead up to them achieving their big goals for the year, and their weekly goals that lead up to them achieving their monthly goals for the year. So obviously, if you're achieving what you need to on a weekly basis, it will roll up to you achieving what you need to on a monthly basis, which will then roll up to what you need to achieve or what you can achieve for the whole year. And so it's so important for you to have these types of tools as a leader to be able to hold your people accountable, to give them clarity, honestly, about what it is that they're supposed to be doing and the part that they play within your organization. Everybody wants to know what the part is that they play in the organization and the ability for the organization to be successful and achieve its goals. So first of all, together you have to have buy-in. Now, obviously, as a leader, you can dictate what your big goals are, and you can help lead and guide your people to make the right decisions when it comes to figuring out what the priorities and the strategies are. But giving them the opportunity to have a part in that really helps them to buy into it. But then what's even more important is, okay, now what do they do throughout the year to really make sure that those things are going to be achieved? Because it's teamwork, right? We have to all be able to do our individual things, meet our individual goals, in order for the team to meet its big goal. And so how are they personally, with their daily activities, their monthly, weekly, annual activities, how are they tied into that 1-3-5 or that GPS? And so as I mentioned to you, all you have to do is reach out to me on carrieh@kw.com. Look for me at coachingwithcarrie.com, which is right here at Blog Talk Radio. You can message me here. You can go to Facebook and look me up on Coaching with Carrie, or just personally Carrie Heibel on Facebook and message me. So whatever's easiest for you to get in contact with me, if you'd like me to give you any of these tools, I am more than happy to do that. And I'm happy to do an individual coaching session with you as well. Obviously, first come, first serve. But just let me know if I can help in any way. Today, I want to talk about moving forward into monitoring your critical path dials. And then we're going to talk about something called the quadrant view. So these are two more things that really are tools that you can use with your team moving into the new year. And so again, just as always, if there's something that I can help you with in regards to the critical path dials or the quadrant view, or if you'd like me to give you these tools, just reach out to me. So what is the critical path dial? The critical path is defined by the actions you and your team must complete in order to achieve the preset objectives. So now that you've got your GPS done, you know what your objectives are, and everybody knows what their individual objectives are, you need to have a critical path dial. You need to see what it is, the 3 to 5 activities that are the most critical to achieving that goal. So I would suggest you do this as a team when you look at that big goal. What are the main activities? Again, there's usually 3 to 5 of them. And that is what is going to be known as the 20%, right? They are the 20% associated with that objective. In other words, as we've talked in the past, if you've listened to any of my other Coaching with Carrie sessions in the 6 personal perspectives or in the one thing when I talked about that, the reality is 20% of the activities are going to reap you 80% of the rewards. And so the 20% is the most critical thing that you and your team members need to focus on as far as activities that are going to get you what you need in terms of your goal. So what are those activities and how do you monitor them? How do you know if they're successful? How do you know if they're being done in the way they should be and at the levels that they should be and in a timely fashion? Well, you have to create this critical path dial because these are qualitative indicators of how well you and your team are completing these activities in any given time frame. It's a measurement of what needs to be done. So you're going to look at what the maximum probable is, what the expected average is for this activity, and what the minimum acceptable level is. And everybody on your team needs to be on the same page. So by identifying this, people know what the expectation is, right? The other thing is when you set a goal or you set these activities in terms of a goal, you want them to be very specific and you want them to have a time frame on them. By when does this need to be done, right? So that's part of this critical path dial is understanding that you can stretch it out as long as you want over time to monitor progress because this is going to allow you to gauge the quantity and the quality of the activity. It also gives you, the leader, a clear sense of how the team is doing and when you need to get involved and, of course, when you just need to adjust. So if there's an activity or an outcome that you're after, there's an activity that you have to measure to get that outcome. That's just the bottom line, right? And so you need to understand what is that maximum probable, what is that minimum acceptable, what is that average, that you think is going to probably be most likely to happen. And when you look at that, you need to also put some time frame on it in which you want your team to be doing these activities. So if the number is above the maximum probable, you should examine why. Right? Have your team members' skills improved to the point where you need to change what is probable? Or are they letting other responsibilities go while they focus only on this one task? Are they exemplifying good focus? I mean, because that's a good thing to have you be at the maximum probable. But there might be something that's failing behind the scenes because of it, so you just need to watch it. Is the number below the minimum acceptable? We'll find out where the activity is breaking down. Is the activity itself still a priority? Have other tasks gotten in the way? Is it a skill issue? Are they in the wrong position? Why is this happening? All that this critical dial does is allow you to monitor, are we achieving our activity in the amount of time that we've allotted, and are we getting decent results? Are we at least getting the average expected result or better? And if we're not, then it's a conversation that I have to start having and something I need to dig into as a leader. That's really all these tools are about, you guys, is just creating awareness for you as a leader and the team to know that you're on the right path and if there's things that need to be changed, that you can change them. The reality is we're all going to fail, and we want to fail. We want to fail forward as fast as possible, but we have to be able to adjust immediately. If we don't track anything, there's no way to know if we're failing, number one. And even if we have a sense we're failing, there's no way to adjust because we don't have anything in writing. We don't have anything clarified or specified, right? And so if you are interested in looking at this worksheet, this critical path worksheet, just let me know again. I'll be happy to get you a copy of it. But essentially, you're going to have 3 to 5 of these particular activities, right? We talked about this. So the sheet itself has 4. That's the average number. So you're picking the 4 top activities, which are in the top 20% of the things that your team members and you should be doing. You identify a time span or a frequency, and then, of course, you write down what would the maximum probable level be of this activity, what would the expected average level be, and what would the minimum acceptable level be. Maybe we're talking about lead generation to sphere of influence. Well, the maximum probable level would be getting X amount of transactions or referrals from our sphere. Maybe an expected average would be an X amount, and the minimum would be X. Like, we can't have less than 1 a week. Or 2 a week, depending upon how big your team is, it might be 10 a week. The average expected might be 3, and if we are doing the maximum probable, we're getting 5. And I'm just, of course, using these numbers. It could be anything from lead generation to open houses to conversion rates to, you know, a variety of things that you would want to measure. So that's what your critical path dials worksheet is, and please let me know if you'd like a copy of it. Of course, you could just create it on your own as well now that you know what it's about. So secondly, today I just want to talk about the quadrant view. Because as you're looking at your whole year, 2016, and seeing what you've accomplished and what you want to do, and you're listening to how you can lead and motivate your team to success here on Coaching with Carrie Live on Blog Talk Radio, you clearly are looking at getting ready for 2017. Maybe you need to hire more people. Maybe you need to release some people into the workforce that are not a good fit for you. Maybe you need to truly reevaluate and better coach and lead the people that you do have, and maybe there's a combination of all of those things. The reality is, if you're setting your goal and you're doing the 135 or the GPS business planning like we've talked about, everybody's getting on a 411 and understanding their role and what they need to do. You're identifying the top activities and the priorities and the benchmarks for those things. You're getting ready to set yourself up and your team up for success in 2017. There is no doubt. But if you don't identify where people are at in your organization, if you've got the right people on the bus, if you need to bring new people on, or if you just need to give more and different attention to the people you do have, then none of these things are going to matter. You're not going to achieve your goal if you don't have the people in place and if you're not leading them appropriately. And that's what this quadrant view is all about. So the quadrant view is a basic tool that can help you objectively evaluate your team. So when you feel the cohesiveness of your team lagging, or you're just a little unsure if it's at its fullest potential right now, either way, or if your group is not meeting its objectives, right? If it didn't hit its goals in 2016, then you need to pull out a sheet of paper, and you need to quickly sketch out four quadrants, okay? And then you're going to think about productivity and potential of each team member and decide where they fall. So the tool will actually force you to clearly see how each individual is functioning in relation to their potential and to the rest of the group, which is important, and it helps you to see how you can respond as a leader. So why don't you do this right now while we're in the coaching session, and then you'll have an example of it, and you can use it and really think through it more in the future. But let's do this right now so that you can understand what this quadrant view is. So go ahead and make a quadrant. In other words, do a vertical line up and down, and then a horizontal line across right in the middle. So now you have four quadrants, right? So on the up and down, the vertical line, on the top of that, put the word potential. And on the side, the right side of the horizontal line, write the word productivity. Okay, so now you've got potential up and down and productivity across. Okay, in that top left quadrant, put high potential, comma, low productivity. Right in there, high potential, low productivity. That's in the top left quadrant. High potential, low productivity. On the top right quadrant, write high potential, high productivity. Again, high potential, high productivity. That's for the top right quadrant. High potential and high productivity. On your lower left quadrant, put low potential, low productivity. Again, that's low potential and low productivity. That's on the lower left quadrant. Low potential, low productivity. And then finally, on the lower right quadrant, put low potential, high productivity. Low potential, high productivity. Again, this is the far, the lower right quadrant. Low potential, high productivity. So in the top left quadrant, think about who you have on your team that is high potential and low productivity. Their talent, they've got what it takes, they've got the it factor, they're smart, they're people love them, but they are not producing at the level that they should be or at all. Why aren't they? Why are they in low productivity? Do they have a lack of drive? Do they have a lack of confidence because they haven't been trained appropriately? Do they have a hard time focusing? Are they scared to pick up the phone? You know, what is happening with them? So write those people down. And right underneath there, what you need to do with these people is you need to direct them to training or you need to coach with them. Okay, because you need to figure out what's going on with them and you need to get them into high productivity because they have that potential. And then in your top right quadrant, the high potential, high productivity, think about who you have on your team that is just a rock star. They are not only high potential, but they're in high productivity. They're doing an amazing job. And I need you to write their names down there, and I want you to write underneath of that to look for opportunities for them. Because that is your goal as a leader, is you need to find new and more opportunities within your organization for people like this, or they are going to leave you. And how you build a big business is by not only attracting high talent and high potential, high productivity people like this, but keeping them. So what is it that they want? You need to talk to them about where they see themselves going. Maybe it's moving them into listings instead of buyers. Maybe it's moving them into a leadership opportunity to lead the other buyer's agents. Maybe it's giving them opportunity to coach or train. What is it that they want to do, and how can you find opportunity for them? In the low left corner, low potential, low productivity, I want you to think of people in your organization that are both of those. The more you've gotten to know them, you just believe that they're low potential and they are not producing. What you need to do with these people, and write this down underneath these people's names, is you need to coach them into another career. This isn't the right fit for them. It's not helping them, and it's not helping you. Nobody got into this business to be unsuccessful, and by leaving them in your organization and allowing them to be unsuccessful, you are, you know, you're helping them to be unsuccessful. That's not what they got into the career for, and some people just aren't a fit, and that's just the reality. But you can help them and coach them into a new career, potentially even refer them to others in different industries that they may be a good fit for. So who are those people? You need to coach them into another career. And then lastly, the right lower quadrant, the low potential, high productivity. Who are these people? Who are the people that have low potential? Now, they're in production right now, but the potential is really low. They're probably not going to get any further than they are now. There's a couple of options with these people. If you believe that they're happy in the level of productivity that they're in and they don't want to increase it, then you could truly keep them and consult with them and just make sure they're happy and figure out how to help them be as efficient as possible and to stay really stable and steady in the production that they have. Or you can redirect them to another position within your organization or to another career if you see fit. Those are the options with these people. So write those people down, and you either make sure that you know they're comfortable staying where they are and with the productivity level they have, and then make sure they have the tools that they need to be as efficient as possible to stay stable and consistent in that, because that is a value proposition for everybody. Or you need to redirect them to another position in your team that might be better for them, or coach them into another career. So this is a really important activity for you to do. It's important for you to do it now before 2017, because you need to be spending one-on-one time setting these goals and doing the 411 action worksheets with all of these people, and it's a great opportunity to have these conversations. But before you can have these conversations, you need to identify who you have and where they are in this quadrant. The last thing I want to talk about is, or the next thing I'm going to talk about next time when we get on coaching with Carrie live here on Blog Talk Radio, because it's a little bit more in depth and I don't want to rush through it today, is the performance wheel. So the performance wheel will illustrate the elements necessary for optimal performance in your team. And you're going to use the wheel as a tool to construct an achievement team, right? By making sure that each team member has its element at a level 10, where what they're doing it in their performance zone, that they'll be self-managed talent performing at a really high level. Because when that happens, they're succeeding at the highest level possible. They're happy. You're retaining them. They're leading a life that is super successful. They're excited. They're achieving their goals. And of course, then you as a team are achieving your goals, which means you as a leader are achieving yours. It's truly success through others, but it's helping others reach their fullest potential, which is awesome. So if people are accountable and responsible for results, they also have the authority to be able to do what they need to do, which is really, really cool. And if you're hiring people like that, that's what they're going to want. So we're going to talk about the performance wheel and then how to get into a performance script when a team member is struggling with performance issues, because that's going to be important. So now that you've identified people within your organization and where they fall, you know you need to have certain conversations with them. And if you've got people that are high potential but they're not performing, some of these scripts are going to be really important for you to understand what it is that you need to do as a leader to help them get into better performance, right? And identifying the issue, because one goal of effective leadership is to anticipate issues and problems and address them before they even become a big problem, right? Great leaders lead by objective, not crisis. However, even with proactive leadership and planning, issues are still going to arise. So how do you do that? And that's going to be part of an upcoming session as well. So next week, I'm going to simply talk about just the two things, which is the performance wheel and how you can think of your team members, and you can schedule their specific performance wheel and understand what's going on with them and how you can lead them to their fullest potential. And then those that you need to work to get into better performance, what is that script and how do you do that? How do you get your people all performing at the highest level possible? Because ultimately that's your goal. So that's what we're going to talk about next week, next Friday again, at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here live on Blog Talk Radio with Coaching with Carrie. So join me as we talk about that. And the following week, we're going to talk about identifying the issue and leading, not at a crisis, but definitely solving problems as they come up. And also outcome framing, which is actually part of once you find out the issue and you know what you're working with, you and your team members have the opportunity to select your focus and focus on the problem, or you can focus on the outcome. And obviously you want to focus on the outcome. So I'm going to lead you through a situation where you can understand how you do that. And that's going to conclude that part of the series, which was about, you know, all of those tools in your toolbox I talked about. So we've already gone through the organizational needs assessment, the GPS, or the 135 business planning, the action plans, the 411s. Today we just talked about monitoring the critical path dials and the quadrant view. And then next week, we'll go over the performance wheel and getting into that performance script. And the following week, we'll identify the issue and then outcome framing. And those are going to be all the tools in your toolbox that we believe you need as a leader to really help your team succeed at the highest level possible. Then we're going to move into the motivation concepts series, which I'm super excited about. As you probably know, I do my Motivation Monday. I love motivation. I love motivating and inspiring people. It's just something that I feel like is a passion of mine. And to me, motivation is everything, right? We know that it can drive people to great accomplishments, but where does it come from? And so, you know, what are some ways that you motivate others? How have others motivated you? People are always motivated. They just might not be motivated to do what you want them to do. Motivation is a very personal current running through a person's psyche, right? It can be elusive, and sometimes people aren't even fully aware of what fires their own generators. So we're going to talk about what is motivation and what are the best motivators, and then kind of motivation versus demotivation, and the motivational environment that you can create, and the business universe, and how the source of motivation, energy, and support comes from that. And then we're going to move into more motivation tools and techniques that you can actually use with yourself, your family, your friends, and, of course, your team. So I'm super excited about that session of the of this particular series because, of course, that's a passion of mine. So I'm very excited for you to continue on this series with me of leading and motivating your team to success. Now and into 2017, and I hope this is helpful to you. Of course, if you need any of these tools or any of these worksheets, please just get in touch with me. I'll get you a copy, and please join me again next week right back here on Blog Talk Radio Live with Coaching with Carrie at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time as we talk about the performance wheel and getting your people into performance by using the performance script. Thanks so much, you guys. Make it a great weekend. I hope all is well. I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.